Hoshabar makes landfall in Alabama. Talladega produces a first-time winner. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Over the last couple of years, Carson Hocevar has made headlines in NASCAR on many occasions. This time he did it the right way as he won at Talladega to score his first ever NASCAR Cup Series win. Let's hear an exciting finish now from the Motor Racing Network.
Pushing and shoving. Who's going to make it back to the start-finish line? Side by side. Oh, Ryan Preece will break loose. They're crashing mid-pack. Carson Hocevar will come to the line and the checkered flag and will win the Jack Links 500 as several cars crash and collide, including Christopher Bell, Ryan Preece, and others. Carson Hocevar is a first-time winner in the NASCAR Cup Series.
Well, what would it be without crash and smoke and devastation at the end of a Talladega race? But Carson Hocevar was ahead of all of that and pulled off his initial Cup Series win, the call there by MRN's Mike Bagley. Now let's hear from the winning driver.
I knew it was going to be coming, and I literally posted on Instagram that I was like, I don't care, we're going to win. And I've sure lost a lot of them. So it was really a risk for me to put that out there. But I just felt so confident, and I knew how we lost the 500 we were owed. And I just felt like I've been owed a long time. And
I'm Doug Rice, joined by Andrew Curlin and Brad Gilley on this edition of Fast Talk. Andrew, we all knew this day was going to come eventually, because we've been told that now for the last 2.5 years. What a way to get the W.
It certainly was, and Carson said that he grew up a Dale Jr. fan. What cooler place to win as a Dale Jr. fan growing up than Talladega? But I don't think it was ever a matter of if for Carson Hocevar. It was a matter of when. I don't know if I necessarily saw it coming on a super speedway. I feel like he had moments. He said in what you just said, what we just heard there, that he's lost a lot of them. He's lost a lot of them in difficult ways, but Carson Hocevar being a Cup Series winner, it just feels right. It feels like we were due for one.
Brad, we've had people win at Talladega, and it's the only win of their career, a.k.a. Bobby Hill and then Phil Parsons, and there's quite a lengthy list. What's your take on this one? Is Carson Hocevar one and done, or is this the first of many?
No, I think this is the first of a lot. And look, Carson Hocevar, there's no denying his talent. And I'll give Jeff Dickerson, the co-owner of Spire Motorsports, a lot of credit, because not only did he recognize that talent early, remember Carson Hocevar is in his early 20s, but he also signed Hocevar through the 2030s, which is pretty incredible. I do feel like this driver and this team can actually go out there and make some pretty big things happen. He's got a veteran crew chief in Luke Lambert. He has everything that he needs to have. And after 91 starts in the Cup Series, the other thing he has is good decisions on the racetrack. And we've seen that a lot here lately, including yesterday with that trip to Victory Lane.
And Brad, it seems like, it doesn't seem like it is, that Carson Hocevar's very inventive victory celebration in some ways almost overshadows the fact that he won a cup race.
It really does. That might have been one of the one that is easily a top five ever seen. Now, yes, I'm sure a lot of us were sitting in our living rooms or maybe sitting in the grandstands thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, this might be a little natural selection moment here. But it was just the coolest thing. And here's what I love, too. He's got that Chili sponsorship that has him in a cowboy uniform with the Ride the Dente. Now, when he nosed the car up against the wall, that was probably a little harder than what he wanted to do. But it was almost like he was, you know, on a bucking Bronco or something like that, and everything played into it. The only thing that would have topped it off is whatever cold beverages were being thrown at him, and I have a feeling I know what cold beverages were being thrown at him. If he would have just caught that one, that would have been awesome.
Maybe that's what you add for next time. And I'm proud that NASCAR, because we've heard now from the new CEO, Steve O'Donnell, Andrew, that they're fine with it. Don't run into the wall, as all O'Donnell said, but they're fine with this victory celebration.
Look at the traction it got. We had Barstool tweeting about it. We had all these different people that normally wouldn't look into NASCAR talking about Carson Hocevar's victory celebration. You know what? It was unique. I haven't seen it. Did you guys, I do want to ask, did you guys see the ambulance that was following him as he was doing yes. this? Almost just like waiting for it to happen.
Nice.
I'm glad he didn't fall out. I'm glad he didn't need a, you know, trip to the care center.
Yeah,
I
saw that this morning when I watched it again, and I thought, he's got a trailing vehicle.
Yeah.
And it was an ambulance, I guess, in case he fell out of the car or something. Don't do this at home. I'm glad he did it, and I'm really happy that NASCAR didn't become the fun police, and
yeah.
so we never want to see anything like that again. And so good on Carson Hose for getting the W. Brad, is this a big thing that NASCAR needed? Guy with a huge personality coming out and showing it and winning?
Yes, 100%. We need things like this, and we need to see things like this. And Doug, you've heard me say for years, I love a good winner. And they're all good, don't get me wrong. But what I mean by that is sometimes someone starts winning with regularity. Jeff Gordon admitted it to us after he retired with his 93 career victories. He was like, we almost started winning so much you took it for granted. Well, when you get that first one, there is only one first. And it was so special to see what a good winner he is, what the celebration was, what the pure joy and elation was. And I don't care whether you're a NASCAR fan or not, you could feel that moment. You could understand just what he was feeling. And you could almost, in an infectious way, be a part of it as well. And I thought that was just the coolest thing. And I'm here for that. I'm here for more of those.
All right. Cool moment. Neat guy. It's funny to me, Andrew. I wanted to get your thoughts about the transformation that he's gone through real quickly from being, he's a rolling wreck, he should be banned, what's he doing, to now, this is the coolest thing that ever happened.
Well, and I'm sure there's still drivers out there that will say that. I mean, Kyle Busch went on a podcast recently and said that he does not like Carson Hocevar and the way he drives. And if anything, this might fuel the fire, because now you can't say that he's a wrecking ball and all he does is wreck people, but he can't find his way to victory lane, because he's a proven winner now, and that's a big deal. So this almost, I think, makes that aggression okay moving forward, but I think he's got a little bit of ground to stand on now. It's like, all right, well, I'm going to be aggressive, but guess what? My aggression works. I want a Talladega where you have to be aggressive to get to the front.
So, Brad, I guess the next step is he's got all the intangibles to put on a Wheaties box. He's got one other thing, though, that he has to do.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
That's win regularly.
That is true. Yeah. Which those are a lot of other things that he has to do. And this is where the tough part comes for them. All the talent in the world, has a great team behind them. They don't control their pit crews, however. They lease those from Hendrick Motorsports, and I think that sometimes can become a challenge. Not that they have a bad pit crew. They don't. They have a great one, but I think as Spire continues to grow, they need to bring some more things in-house, and the more you have control over, I think the better you can do with it as well.
So we'll see how all of that plays out, and congrats to Spire. We were talking on this show last week about where are they, and everybody has put so many accolades on them, saying they've spent all this money, they're bankrolled, and they still hadn't been winning. Do you think this changes the perception of Spire at all, Andrew?
I think it does. I also think this puts the pressure on Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell to come to the level that Carson Hocevar is at. I don't know where they are in points. I want to say Carson, he's eighth in points. Mm-hmm. He's the highest Spire car. Obviously, the clubhouse leader of that organization, but he's proven that he's got winning speed. Now it's up to Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell to hold serve and prove that they're also capable of winning these races.
Brad Gillies, should he take Alex Bowman and his crew to all expense paid night at Chili's? Because that big shove that he got on the backstretch, I felt like was the difference maker.
I think he should. And these are what I love about the after moments as well, is that Alex Bowman was there waiting for him on pit road to congratulate him. And Carson Hocevar recognized that. And, maybe these are things, if you tuned out a little bit early, that people didn't see or they didn't know. But those are great moments. And we talk at Talladega, Daytona, and Echo Park Speedway to an extent about how manufacturer alliances are important. And for Alex Bowman, it was important for him to get a top three finish. It was also important for him to make sure a Chevrolet got into victory lane. And both of those were accomplished, and I thought that was a really cool thing.
Just a quick note then, Alex Bowman shows back up. He's had that hiatus for 4 weeks. His return was less than glorious at Bristol, where he finished last, but he comes home with a top five finish.
That's what they need. That they need to start cutting away at this cut line like there's no tomorrow. And looking at the points, Bowman is still 36. He's 404 behind the leader, Tyler Reddick, but still has a lot of ground to make up on that 16th points position to, you know, make the chase.
My personal take on that is that doesn't happen, but you need to show relevance.
Yeah.
You need to show that this 48 team can bounce back, and let's see what you do next week at Texas, because, Brad, the landscape is littered with teams at Daytona and Talladega that show up and have even top five finishes, and then you never hear from them again.
Right, right. And this is with no disrespect to Alex Bowman. I don't think he gets to chase contention, but he's 4 points away from moving up one spot in the standings. I think he's 9 points away from moving up another spot. That's the curious thing that I want to see. Can Alex Bowman race his way up into the top 20? Look, last year, we actually had Brad Keselowski at the halfway point of the season when we went to Echo Park Speedway right before the bracket challenge. We wondered if he was going to be a part of that because you needed to be in the top 32 in the point standings to make the bracket challenge. He barely did. But as the second half of the season went on, Keselowski raced his way up into the top 20. I'd love to see that out of Alex Bowman before we get to the chase, and I think that would be a good thing for them.
Time now for our Toyota performance report. And for the first time in a long time, a little bit of a rough, bumpy day for Toyota at Talladega. Tyler Reddick, top finishing Toyota, and that was in 14th. Denny Hamlin was 15th. Seabell was 17th. 22nd went to John Hunter Nemechek. Eric Jones was 23rd. Tough day there for Legacy Motor Club. Riley Herbst, 25th, 29th to Chase Briscoe. Ty Gibbs, 34th, and 36th was Bubba Wallace, who got turned about midway through the race and triggered a massive wreck that took out about half the field. Didn't take them out, but eliminated them from winning contention. That, my friends, is your Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at toyotaracing.com. Speaking of racing, let's take a look at how things developed at Talladega after NASCAR made some tweaks. We'll do it in a moment.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Kyle Larson, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
We'll be right back. This past week, we found out that NASCAR has a new chief executive officer. His name is Steve O'Donnell. He's not new to the sport. We'll talk about that in our next block. But right now, Brad Gilley, a lot of anticipation going into this Talladega race that NASCAR did a little switcheroo and put the long segment at the first of the race, and then the last two legs were much shorter, and trying to eliminate the dreaded fuel mileage, let's all slow down and run 50% throttle. How did you think that experiment worked?
I loved it. And last week I said, hey, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. We might get a single file line at the top of the track, and all of a sudden we're going to spend half of the race, 98 laps, basically just running for the end of a stage. We still got the three wide bumper-to-bumper traffic jam. It's just that it was about 180, 177 miles per hour. You could tell they were saving fuel, but I was okay with that, because once we really started getting into it and got toward the end of the stage and then saw some people have to pit late for fuel or try and short pit the stage and some of the other things that went down, I loved that. I thought that was great. The final two shorter stages made it awesome. Now, if I had one more plea, please, please, please flip the stages at road courses as well. I want to see a single fuel run final stage. No pit stop. Don't want to see the field spread out due to road courses.
All right. The way NASCAR is listening to people, that might just happen. Andrew, at the break that Brad was talking about during that first round of green flag pit stops, felt like every other driver, including Denny Hamlin, got popped with some kind of penalty on pit road. What was going on that we saw all of these teams struggling?
Well, and you mentioned Denny Hamlin, but there were a lot of other Toyotas that struggled as well. And obviously, when you have to pit under green, you have to pit with some of your friends. And I feel like if one domino falls, the rest of them do. But, and again, I think this is why I like how it's formatted. But if you get your speeding penalty done and out of the way, if you have to speed in stage one rather than stage three, all right, if I'm a Denny Hamlin fan, he's still in it. We still have a lot more race to run, which I like that. It was kind of like, let's get the tedious stuff out of the way at Talladega and let the boys race when it was done. But I feel like at Talladega, yes, it's very individual. You try to make moves to, especially at the end of the race, that will benefit you the most. But you need friends more than anything else, especially when you're pitting under green. I think that's what hurt the Toyotas in particular.
Brad, when the checkered flag fell at Talladega, Kyle Larson was 40th. That was last. Do you think Kyle is now petitioning NASCAR to let's never go to another super speedway again?
No, because he was one of the best drivers at speedways heading into this weekend. And when I say one of the best, I mean one of the best by a lot. All right. It was Kyle Larson, it was William Byron, and it was Tyler Reddick. Those three drivers showed up in everything, whether it was average finish, points collected, you name it, either in the Gen 7 era at Talladega or the last 10 races at Talladega combined. Kyle Larson has become a speedway racer. In fact, two of his last three races at Talladega were fourth and second. He just got in a wreck, that's all.
I beg to differ. I mean, I think he's very talented because we're told that every week. But let's go to Hendrick Motorsports and look at the collection of trophies that Kyle Larson has at Super Speedways.
He doesn't.
Wait, there's not one.
But that's okay. But go back and look at historical numbers in this car, and Kyle Larson stands out above most in the series. The only person better than him is his teammate William Byron. On average, you might have to kick out that 40th place finish yesterday.
William Byron has shiny super speedway trophies, though.
He has, but Kyle Larson has done everything but win. The numbers play it out.
And we asked Kyle Larson before
it's
the season.
Butt, and I like big butts, I can't deny it.
I don't know where to go with that, but we asked Kyle Larson before the season, and we were like, hey, do you like this style of racing? Have you gotten better at it? And he said he has learned a lot, especially since coming to Hendrick Motorsports. He has learned this style. Obviously, it hasn't translated to anything that you could write home about, but in terms of his likeness to it and him getting better at it, I think he realizes his potential.
My tongue firmly in cheek there. Kyle Larson obviously knows what he's doing, but you just get this sense of dread now when we go to places like Daytona and Talladega that he's got to be thinking, when does the meteorite hit my car?
Yeah.
And
more times than not, it probably will.
There's one with his name on it. All right, NASCAR has a new CEO. We'll talk about it next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Carson Hocevar, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Chase Elliott on his relationship with Napa.
His fit for your 13th year together. They've been a great partner. I think as time goes on, those relationships get better if you're lucky enough to have a partner for that length of time, because they get to know you, you get to know them, we figure out what works for each other, and we can really start pulling the rope in the same direction. And I think that that's where our relationship has really thrived the most.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business.
It was a big news week for NASCAR, as we found out about halfway through the week that NASCAR's upper management was going through a dramatic change, that longtime CEO Jim France was stepping down, and longtime NASCAR personality Steve O'Donnell would now become the new CEO. Brad Gilley, this is, I feel like, a tectonic-type change in the NASCAR hierarchy. O'Donnell is not a member of the France family, although they are still very much engaged in everything. Your thoughts about longtime NASCAR guy Steve O'Donnell taking over the reins?
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's awesome. It was almost a short-lived presidency, however, because it doesn't seem like yesterday that he took over the presidency for Steve Phelps when Steve Phelps became commissioner. But one thing I like about it, I do feel like as bad as having a lawsuit in our sport was, there's a lot of good that came out of it. And one of the other things that came out of it is the fact that I do feel like a lot of people maybe got to know who Steve O'Donnell is a lot more. And when you start to hear some of the things that came out of meetings and different things like that, where he actually was advocating for teams and where he was advocating for the sport of NASCAR and the fandom and all of that, I have a big respect for that. And as he said, and I know you heard the same interview this morning on Sirius XM, that, look, Jim France came on as chairman at a time where we needed a Jim France. We're coming through COVID. We've got television contracts to renegotiate, a charter agreement to renegotiate, and different things like that. And Jim France is like, you know, hey, I'm still going to be chairman, but I'm going to step out of this CEO role. And it fits for Steve Phelps. The other half of this is that Ben Kennedy, who is a part of the France family, Lisa France Kennedy's son, has been named chief operating officer. Right now, the presidency of NASCAR is vacated. I have a feeling we know what name is going to fill that at some point in the near future.
All right, we'll see how all of that shapes out. They're going to make Dale Jr. the president?
Well, he already is.
He is the most influential, and they don't even have to pay him to be an influencer. Thoughts on this, Andrew? This was a I feel like, as big a news as we've heard in a long time.
I think this is a great move. As Brad said, Steve O'Donnell is a true racer. Not that Jim France never was. Obviously, he grew up in the sport and spent his early days working at Daytona International Speedway and whatnot. But Steve O'Donnell, I think, as Brad said, is an advocate for the purity of the racing, the purity of the heart of what NASCAR is supposed to be. But I think that important piece of the puzzle is, and I read this on The Athletic, Jeff Gluck made a great observation, was that Steve O'Donnell and Ben Kennedy, they think similarly. And that's a big deal, because this whole lawsuit, it seemed like NASCAR, there was one thing that, you know, one person wanted to do and one person wanted to do this thing, and they couldn't agree. Now we have true alignment in terms of being able to make decisions moving forward, and I think that's going to be huge for how we try to grow the sport.
Jim France had his own management style. We found out a lot about that during the NASCAR trial, and it was different. It was much more old school. We're going to do it this way because this is what I want. I think Steve O'Donnell is much more a consensus builder. What's best? He is going to be collecting data and opinions, and I think trying to answer a lot of questions, because this is not an easy job. This is a very, very tenuous job that he has stepped into. I think they made a very good call. O'Donnell, by the way, talks about Carson Hocevar's win at Talladega.
I do. You know, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, right? But, you know, we spent some time a couple weeks ago, too, with Jesse Love and Connor Zilich and William Byron, just, you know, kind of BSing. And just listening to those guys and the younger guys, they've got a renewed enthusiasm for the sport, which is great to see, because we went through some challenges. We, you know, we still have them, right? But it's neat to see that they kind of want to lean in and they want to go out and they're interacting with the fans. And I think the fans appreciate that, too.
I think we're going to see a much more forward-facing CEO, Brad. O'Donnell's always been media-friendly, and I think we need that. A total 180 from what Jim France was. Very reserved, didn't like the microphones, didn't want the spotlight. I think O'Donnell's going to be out there.
I would agree with you, too. And this is the other side of it, that, well, Steve O'Donnell has truly seen every side of the sport. We talk about people in industry who rise to that role of CEO, and you hear, well, they started at this company sweeping the floors. Well, he effectively did that. He was the guy that was managing Victory Lane and worked his way up and really saw every side of it, from the souvenir side of it to the racetrack side of it to the competition side of it, the sales side of it. All of that. And I think that's what really makes this a great move for the sport of NASCAR, because he does have an understanding of what's important to everyone. Now, not everyone is going to get their way every time, and that's okay. As long as you have that open communication and you can tell the person who doesn't get what they want, well, here's why we have to go this way instead. I think we all understand those things, but I think he really has a unique ability to see things from all sides and make the right decisions with the right people that are underneath him to be able to get some great positive things done for the sport.
Well, he's already been out there publicly, as Andrew alluded to. He did a hit on Sirius's morning show. He did the very popular podcast, The Teardown, with Jeff Gluck and Bianchi, and I think that's a great step forward. Best of luck to you there, Steve O'Donnell, or as he is nicknamed, OD. Way to go. So exciting times in NASCAR. Exciting times coming up for Texas Motor Speedway. We'll talk with their head person in just a moment.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
This is Josh Berry, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride.
It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. The idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City. And then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona. And we were riding in. It was late at night. And it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. And I just threw it out in the garage here. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissoms rode with us. Man, we had so many people. They read about it and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride. And we were like, come on down. Had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. It is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across country sometime. But it has been really good. We heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans. And we were thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did. It's all for camp now. It's all for Victory Junction.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Coming up this weekend, all eyes will be focused on Fort Worth, Texas for the Worth 400. Two different Worths. Reminds you of the great Buffalo Springfield, for what it's worth. Anyway, Brad Gilley, they're all headed down there, and Mark Faber is going to be there with open arms to welcome everybody. He is the president, general manager of Texas Motor Speedway. Mark, you ready to welcome throngs of people to Fort Worth this weekend?
We are, Doug. Thanks for having me on. And we have fans that have bought tickets from all 50 states in the United States, District of Columbia, 15 countries internationally, including as far away as Australia, New Zealand, Japan, countries in South America, Europe, and of course, Canada and Mexico. So we will truly have an international event this weekend, and we're pumped.
I love it. All the continents and everything. Let me start by saying this, Mark, and I'll see you probably here in about 45 minutes when I head up there from where I am right now. But I've told a lot of people this. Texas Motor Speedway right now looks better than I think I have ever seen it. The ball field where the logos are painted is greener than what I've ever seen. The entire property is clean. There have been so many improvements around there. And this in spite of this past weekend, having the second largest swap meet in the United States that takes up the entire front stretch parking lot, having Fuel Fest taking up the infield, and so many other events that go on outside of a NASCAR weekend. When fans show up this weekend, and I'm sure they're showing up now to camp, they are truly going to be treated by the world-class facility Texas Motor Speedway is. And that's not really a question. I just want to compliment the crew and the staff and everyone there. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's great, Brad. We know this is your home track. We're excited to see you today. Our ops team has worked really, really hard since the first of the year in landscaping, preparation, painting, polishing. They deserve a big, big amount of credit. And as you've seen, it's great. The flags are out and the ball field's great. And everything's, I'm looking out there now, they're painting on the start-finish line. So we did. We had a huge crowd. We had over 100,000 people here this weekend between Pate and Fuel Fest. And so to be able to turn the facility like they do and make it look like it does for the tens of thousands of NASCAR fans coming this weekend is going to be fantastic.
Mark, the way I look at Texas is it has a lot of character. Turns one and two are they're kind of a slower sweeping corner. Three and four, you can go wide out. Talking to drivers, they're saying that it's you're on the edge trying to A, set your race car up, and then from behind the wheel, it's chaos. How have you seen the racing evolve at Texas Motor Speedway over the years? Because it seems like you guys are starting to develop into a really great product.
That's a great question. And since the reconfiguration about 10 years ago, the track has evolved. And it certainly has had its share of drivers that have not liked it and teams that haven't liked it. And it's grown and it's cured. And, you know, we talk to the drivers. We've had some DAPs and Brad's been part of some of those recently where you talk to the drivers And, you know, Dale Jr., after last year's race, said, you know, Texas Motor Speedway was 25th on my ranking, and I'm going to move them up to top 10. You talk to other drivers who in the past wanted to literally demolish the track, and now they say, hey, it's pretty good. So we think it's exciting racing. It's coming around. You know, Joey Logano before last year's race said it's big, hairy, and fast. And what does he do? He comes from 27th on the starting grid and wins the race. So it takes the best drivers. You know, Christopher Bell talks about the bump between 3 and 4. And gets asked every year, should TMS grind that out? And he goes, no, leave it. He says the best drivers will learn the nuances of the track and the facility. The cream will rise to the top. So we think we're getting there. We're really excited about that. The next gen, obviously, car a few years ago, you had to evolve and learn and how that goes. But we're excited to see what this race holds coming up here in a few days.
Mark, go ahead, Brad.
I was going to say, one of the other things that's really cool about this weekend is, you know, we get to see a lot of pre-race entertainment. I don't know that there's been a better one in a long time than Chris Jansen, who is going to be starting off this. He is an amazing, amazing talent. I don't care what kind of music you like. You're going to like Chris Jansen.
Yeah, we're blessed to be able to have him, Brad. And that's great for our fans and our pre-race concert. And, you know, we've had some really good entertainment here. I mean, last year we had Ernest. You might recall we had 38 special before. But to get Chris Jansen here is great. And we encourage the fans to go to our website. It's texasmotorspeedway.com. For those fans that are coming here, get a track pass, go down and see Chris Jansen up close and personal, and then stay and watch all of your favorite drivers come out to the pre-race stage and enjoy all of the festivities. And I will add, because you brought up Chris Jansen in pre-race, Brad, we have Don Graves, who is our official singer. And you might remember Don Graves, retired Marine, Iwo Jima survivor. Last year sang the national anthem. This year he's singing it again on Sunday, which is his 101st birthday. So we are awesome. I mean, we're going to have an awesome pre-race with Chris. Then you lead into that special time with Don Graves and our armed forces, and we're excited.
And that is very special. If you've got to tune in early to catch Don's performance of the national anthem, it's worth the price of admission. We had a new winner at Talladega, and Carson Hocevar, exciting young man, who had a cowboy hat on, by the way, in Victory Lane. It wasn't for your track, but it was for Chili's. What does this do for you, Mark, when you see somebody exciting and fresh and new come on as far as being a promoter yourself for Texas Motor Speedway?
Yeah, we're excited about that. And Carson, you know, has won here before. So, you know, he may have another chance of getting a second hat here at Texas Motor Speedway. And it brings some energy. Boy, his victory lap was something that was really special, wasn't it? Just to see that. And he brings some renewed energy to what we're trying to do. But, you know, we had a great weekend last year. We had great winners. You know, Kyle Larson won last year's Xfinity. Obviously, it's no apps this year. And Kyle's going to be driving 4 out of 5 races. We also have 2 races at the dirt track with High Limit. Kyle Busch is going to be racing in the truck race, and he's going to go for a record 7th victory in the truck race at Texas Motor Speedway. He's tied for the record with 6. And then you have all of the competition, all the winners. Obviously, Tyler Reddick has done a tremendous job in the 2311 to start the season, and you have all these drivers coming in. And so it's going to be great to see this on our 30th anniversary that we've been hosting races here at Texas Motor Speedway.
I was going to ask you about that, the dirt track racing. I talked to Kyle Larson about it. He said he just did this at Las Vegas, and he said the strain on his watch was about through the roof, which is funny. But one thing I'm excited about going to Texas is to see the dirt racing. How can people add that to their NASCAR weekend experience?
They can go onto our website and, you know, texasmotorspeedway.com and add that on. And, you know, it's a great way for fans. And, you know, you talked about people rolling in here. We've got people rolling in here now, and our campgrounds officially open on Wednesday. So those folks are coming in, and a lot of them are coming in specifically, like you talk about, to go to High Limit Racing at the dirt track Thursday night. So it's Thursday night and Saturday night. You know, we're certainly pumped about 5 races in 4 days and getting all the racing that we can in for the fans. And we're going to start with our dirt track racing on Thursday night.
Well, Mark, it looks like a great weekend. By the way, you guys have a triple header weekend headed your way. It's the SpeedyCash.com 250 for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Then it's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series and the Andes Frozen Custard 340. It's worth going just to get the frozen custard.
Absolutely.
There's plenty of it. But so not that we haven't mooched our share out of the media center over the years, Mark. And then, of course, it all culminates on Sunday with the Worth 400, and that is May 3rd. Look forward to everything from down there, Mark. Your people are such great hosts, and I'll agree with Dale Jr. I think as far as a race product is concerned, Texas has really moved up the ladder.
Yep, we sure appreciate it, and thanks for having me on today, and we look forward to hosting everybody here in a few days.
Mark Faber, he's the guy in charge at Texas Motor Speedway.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Green flag, the Coca-Cola 600's underway.
This is a Crown Jewel race.
It's a 600-mile salute to those who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
It's do what we love because of the sacrifices that were made by our military heroes.
If you win this one, you'll carry it with you forever.
It's NASCAR's toughest test for man and machine.
It's the Coca-Cola 600 on Memorial Day weekend.
This is Brad Keselowski, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's 800-396-0150.
Is Fast Talk here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. Coming up, green flag, black flag. But before that, as we are recording this show, a little breaking news. Let's go to our news desk and Andrew Curlin.
Thank you. breaking news, Bob Pockrass just reported that there's a crew chief change for Kyle Busch. Andy Street will replace Jim Pullman. Jim will still remain at the organization, but there's a new guy at the top of the pit box for Kyle Busch after only, what, 10 races?
Brad Gilley, any surprise at all that this announcement came out?
No, not really. They just weren't getting it done. And Jim Pullman, obviously a great crew chief. He won a championship with Justin Allgaier, but he's still new to the current version of the Gen 7 race car, even though he helped develop it when he was at RCR before. So sometimes you just need to make a change when things aren't working. And I look forward to hearing more about that on PRN's Garage Pass with both Andrew Curlin and David Stiles.
And that is right hot off the presses, they used to say. So some shuffling around at Richard Childress Racing combined. They have one top 10 finish in the first 10 races this year And that was the most recent race at Talladega, where Kyle Busch scratched out a 10th place finish. So not surprising, changes at the top at Richard Childress Racing. Let's do this right now.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
All right. Got all these brilliant minds in the room. Let's put them to use. I'm going to fire some statements at these panelists here. If they agree with the statement that I read, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, a black flag. If they're all in harmonious agreement, works like that. I'm going to start with Brad Gilley today. We will have another first-time winner by the time the checkered flag waves at Watkins Glen.
Green flag. We might have two.
Now, is that a first-time winner for the season or like a first-time winner like Josevar and Gibbs were?
Mm. Yeah, like Josevar, Corey Day, and Andy Jankowiak were all first-time career winners at Talladega this weekend.
Yeah.
I take it as another first-time career winner, and I could see both Connor Zilich in Cup and Brent Cruz in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series getting it done at the Glen.
Doug Rice.
Black flag, no. Just
because no one's going to win when Doug's around.
Just no. There are no winners. Wow. The world is just populated with losers. So, no.
Ouch.
Andrew Curlin.
That hurts. Black flag. just to agree with you. Yeah, I think Texas is, as we just talked about in the last segment, that's where really talented drivers prevail. It's a tricky racetrack. And then Watkins Glen, Connor Zilich is good. I don't think he's there, though, yet for the Cup Series.
Okay. I've got to admit this. I love working with Andrew on these occasions because he's not been around me very much. And he blushes, so it's really nice.
Yes, it is.
Blushes and he stares at you a lot.
Anyway, okay.
Is there too much staring?
No, there's never enough staring.
All right, let's go to Doug Rice on this one. Karsten Josevar will be the only Spire Motorsports driver to win a race this season.
Oh, green flag, yeah, sure. Nobody else wins. That's it. That's
Andrew, done. You agree with that?
I'm going to have to agree with that. Yeah, green flag. Doug's making all the good points today. Yeah, Karsten Josevar, he's the only one, not only this season, but in years past at Spire that I've seen winning speed out of.
Brad Gilley.
I'm going to buck the trend. How about just because, number one.
Wow.
And I'll say black flag. Number two, because he's joining us in the booth Friday night for the Truck Series broadcast on the NASCAR Racing Network. And number three, because he actually has one of the top records in the Gen 7 era at Texas. I'm not saying he's going to win there, but I will say Daniel Suarez will get to victory lane this year.
Oh, okay.
Love me some Daniel
Suarez. Fair enough.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Andrew for this one. Old Cletus ran the exact race he needed to run to get his approval for the National O'Reilly Auto Parts Series.
Green flag. This was something that I was looking for out of Cletus. We need, and of course it's just a super speedway race, but he didn't crash and he didn't start crashes and he actually competed for a win. Is he ready to run in the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series after just one solid ARCA finish of second? Maybe not, but man, Cletus is trending in the right direction. I like what I'm seeing out of him. I'm glad to see him running well because it seems like he's starting to dedicate and put the time into being a talented race car driver.
Brad Gilley.
Oh, man. I'm going to say green flag just because I'm here for Cletus McFarland. I would say black flag if it was like anyone else and you simply just looked at their record. But you know what? It's Cletus. I'm here for it.
Will Doug say black flag? Are you going to? Come on.
Do it.
Yes. Yes. I'm with Brad Gilley. I love Cletus McFarland. I think he is the proverbial breath of fresh air. And the sport needs more than that, but let's let him cook in the oven just a little bit longer before we throw him out there. I felt sorry that they booed the winner at Talladega because it wasn't Cletus.
I know it.
Oh man, yeah, that is sad.
That is you spend your whole life, your whole family has done nothing but race, and then you win, and you're awful.
Andy Jankowiak, yeah. Remember that name, Andy Jankowiak. He was the winner.
Yeah. And yep. The moment got spoiled.
Every now and again, we throw you guys a little curveball. This is not exactly a green flag, black flag answer, but a discussion question. We'll go to Brad Gilley first of all. Karsten Josevar went to Chili's after his victory.
What is your victory meal?
Oh, what is my victory meal?
What is going to be your victory lane meal?
Oh, man. You know what?
Where would you go?
I'm going to make Barry Roach at the sales department very happy when I say, instead, I'm going to get some honey butter croissants at Cheddar's. That would be my victory meal, Barry. There you go. And it would be great. There's one 5 miles down the road, down I-35W from Texas Motor Speedway, by the way.
All right, Doug Rice, where's your meal?
I'm going to go because I'm a prisoner of the moment. There's a pizza joint in Boone, North Carolina called Lost Province. It's awesome. I had pizza there this past week, and I'm still thinking about it.
Hmm. Andrew.
I think you win a cup race. It's awesome. You do all your media availability. You get home really late. What's the one thing that's open? And we're not in Vegas, but the house always wins. Give me Waffle House.
Ooh, strong, strong player. Nice. Who is it goes to Waffle House? Butterbean. Yeah.
Butterbean.
Butterbean Queen.
Yep. Take a page out of Butterbean's book.
But yep. I've never seen a pickle in there.
It's all right. I can still manage.
Okay. Inside joke. All right, Doug Rice.
Is that a big deal?
Oh,
Andrew's all Andrew Pickles curling.
Do we have a want, want, want?
Right. Yeah.
There we go.
There you go. All right. We kind of limped to the finish of Green Flag, Black Flag. Back with one last thing.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma. From 6 to 16 years old, it empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. But if you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Doug Rice, Brad Gilley, Andrew Kurland. Andrew, one more time before we get into our last little segment here, hit that news that came out of Richard Childress Racing.
Yeah, so Jim Pohlman will be replaced by Andy Street, so Kyle Busch will have a new crew chief on top of the box starting effective immediately this weekend at Texas.
All right, so change for all the people who have been clamoring about they need to do something at RCR to put Kyle Busch in a better position. We'll see if this bears fruit or not. They'll be at Texas this weekend with a new crew chief on the box for the number 8 car. Let's do this now.
One last thing.
And we will start with our man in Texas, Brad Gilley.
You know what? I'm going to be selfish because we're at my home track this weekend. But let me say this for anywhere NASCAR goes or anywhere you go, even if it's not during a NASCAR weekend. Go explore. Go check out the city. For me, I would say go a little bit east of Texas Motor Speedway into the wonderful town of Roanoke. You always hear people talking about Babe's Chicken. That's one of the big things. The Classic Cafe actually has some of the most amazing food. My good friend Scooter Gearish, the mayor of Roanoke, is big into Speedway Children's Charities. Do that. Fort Worth, and I am a Fort Worth person through and through, has amazing culture, amazing restaurants, and an incredible downtown. Go check out what's happening locally. And whether you're here this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway, you're up in Watkins Glen, New York, when we get to come to Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600 weekend, Dover for the All-Star weekend, any of those places, go check out what's happening locally. And I can promise you, the people who own those local restaurants and are benefiting and work there and all of that, they will appreciate the fact that you were there.
Well said, Brad Gilley. Well said.
Tell me you're there for NASCAR.
Very nice.
Andrew, one last thing.
I don't know if I can follow that up, but I just watched a movie with my girlfriend Allie called Game Night with Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams. It's like a comedy thriller. Actually quite good. And it's like new, so it's nice to know that there's some decent new comedy movies out there.
I'm glad to see Jason Bateman still gainfully employed. That's pretty cool. You know, you talk about some things. The Titanic exhibit is coming to Charlotte. Me and my wife, Penny, we're going to go see that because what is the Titanic famous for? It sank on its very first voyage. Or you can go out to Montana and you can go and see the battlefield of the Little Bighorn. It used to be Custer's Last Stand, but that fell out of popularity. But what's that famous for? Custer and the 7th Cavalry got totally wiped out at the hands of the Sioux Nation, probably deservedly so. Although Armstrong Custer was a very famous general for the North during the Civil War, he didn't carry that luck with him. What I'm trying to get to is failure sometimes can make you famous, but it doesn't sustain. For Carson Hocevar, he's been kicked around a lot, beaten up. As you even said, Kyle Busch said, I don't want to race with him. I don't approve of how he does it. Then he comes back this weekend, and now NASCAR's got this shining new star. Because he didn't let failure define him, like Custer did, like the poor Titanic did. That's their legacy for the rest of time, Custer. And when you say that, that's you talk about failure. From now on, Carson Hocevar can escape all that. And I really think there's a good story in there somewhere. Even his nickname came from the fact that he's tumultuous, Hurricane Hocevar. So keep it up. And I like the fact that he got some redemption. What happens this weekend in Texas, Brad?
Oh, a whole lot of fun. No question about that. And you know what? We'll see. To the point that we've already made, Texas has actually become a pretty amazing track. Look at the stats alone, from lead changes to cautions to drama and everything. Everything I love about a NASCAR race, we actually have here at my home track in the Lone Star State. Come on out. We're going to have a great time. I can promise you that.
You got a pick?
Yes, I will go. I'll go William Byron just because we need another fresh for 2026 face in victory lane.
All right. Willie B.
You want my pick?
Yeah, dude.
David Styles is going to like this one because I pick him every week on Racer's Odds. Give me Tyler Reddick.
You know, that's where I was leaning. I was thinking, why not bet on the pony that's been coming
right.
in?
Yeah.
You know, he's only won half the races this year. Let's give him another one. I agree with you. I like Reddick. I think that's going to be a good pick. And sooner or later, his teammate's going to get a win.
Bubba.
Bubba got crashed out while leading at Talladega. Hey, thanks a lot to all the folks behind the glass here today. That includes usual panelists Alexis Erickson, Kent Bernhardt, and David Styles. For Brad Gilley and Andrew Curlin, I'm Doug Rice, and we will be back here next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk. And in the meantime, keep it between the navigational beacons.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.